Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So here we go, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the KOA Army share their thoughts on all things town. And I hope you all had a good week. Of course, we are proudly sponsored by Ginger Pickle and Manscaped. This week, I'm joined by Matty Macon and Ben Diaf as we discuss all things town. No game this weekend. Of course, international call-ups and all that sort of stuff. But we're going to have a good chinwag on town, just all things town. Mr. Matt Macon, always a pleasure, my friend. How's things?
Always a pleasure to be here, Ross. I'm good, thank you. It's been a nice little run lately after sort of a bit of a uncertain start to the year. The good feeling is back again. Looking forward to chatting through the recent run.
Definitely, my friend. And Ben, it's been a great March. I hope you had a good March as well. Unbeaten month, clean sheets galore. Of course, it's still a record. I was thinking about the women's team. They had a good clean sheet record and that's gone now. But the men's team, club records, Christian Walton in the net, Masuala Luongo playing well, Sam Morsley not getting booked. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ross. I think, like, I would have thought the majority of town fans, particularly on the pitch, and we've seen over the last couple of weeks more brilliant stuff off the pitch. Just, yeah, in a really good mood. It does lift the mood, doesn't it? When we won at Bolton, I was away with my family for the weekend and we all celebrated probably looked like idiots to everybody else in the bar, even though we were in Suffolk. But even my dad went to the bar to get a glass of fizz. We were that enthused by that result. So, yeah, all good, all smiles in my household at the moment. And hopefully it will go on and on and on till the end of the season.
Definitely, my friend. All positive. And what a march it was for town. Some great results. As I said, clean sheet records. We've got my favourite feature that I bring on the podcast. And I'm not the greatest man with words, but I love doing the three words to describe the month of March. Mr. Matt Macon. I don't know why I keep saying Mr. Matt Macon. I'm very formal there. But my friend, what is your three words for the month of March? A 2-0 win against Shrewsbury Town, a 2-0 win against Bolton, a 3-0 win against Accrington, and a 4-0 win against Burton. Three words, my friend.
Very, very good. You know, it's I'm cheating there because I'm using the same word twice, but you are very, I think, is acceptable these days. Yeah, I mean, we said that this was the little run where we could get maximum points here, and if we wanted any chance of staying in the hunt for a top two spot, then that was what we needed to do, and we've done it. It's 7 clean sheets. Now, you include that Bristol game, and we were all moaning about that Bristol game, myself included. You know, thankfully, I wasn't able to watch it. I know I follow. I think I saved myself a tenner from what I've been told by people who made the long trip down to the southwest. But, you know, we've done exactly what we need to do, and results have gone our way in the league, particularly with Plymouth dropping some points. And then Sheffield Wednesday, bizarrely, they dropping some point, and I didn't expect that result a couple of nights ago with Barnes here. And as much as I thought, maybe a draw would do as well there, actually, that's probably done us a favour, Barnsley winning, because that's opened both of those top spots up again now. Whereas before we were thinking, we can nick second, first is gone. But actually, I mean, Sheffield Wednesday might pick it up and carry on, go and win the league. They're still a very good side at grinding out wins, but it just makes everything a little bit competitive again. And I think we're now looking up the table more than worrying about looking over our shoulder. Barnsley are the team to be worried about behind us, but Derby have fallen off a bit of a cliff now with their form. We've got a resounding win against Bolton. And I think that the Bolton game probably for me is really kind of like one of the major points of the month. Because we 1-0 down, you can see the penalty. And I was the same. I was same as Ben. I was away. We were staying with friends in Framlingham, and the alert came through on my phone that at Bolton had been awarded a penalty. I thought, oh, here we go, here we go. And honestly, I was jumping around my friend's front room like an absolute loon when Christian Walton saved that. And then we went on, got another goal and saw it out 2-0. It's just been a really good month. And having, even I had resigned myself to the fact, oh, maybe top two's gone now. Top two very much feels back on. We've still got to keep doing what we're doing. We've still got to rely on some other results going around, but we're in a much healthier position than we were at the end of Feb, I'd say.
Definitely, definitely indeed. And yeah, Ben, what a month it was, March. The goals we scored, the clean sheets we kept. Your three words, my friend, your three words.
I've actually sort of not completely taken the question. I've shortened it to one word, Ross, because you did do one word for quite a while.
Yeah, I did that as well.
So I've just put exemplary. Exemplary is my word, and that I know that means it's very, very good. Exemplary means very, very good. It almost means excellent, flawless almost. But it actually, the exact meaning is serving as the desirable model, which if we continue to be exemplary for the rest of the season, serving as the desirable model, that will turn into promotion, won't it? So I just thought that word suited where we are at the moment for March. Exemplary. There is not anything that I could possibly criticise our on-field performances, I think, at the moment. When we had the Rovers game, as Matt was just talking about, I think Walton at the time probably was just going for a little bit of a sticky patch, the ball that he dropped that ended up then Wolfie off the post, and when Wolfie then kicked the post, and we almost could have lost that game 1-0, but he's come back firing on all cylinders, Walton. His distribution's excellent, obviously saving another penalty. I'm really pleased. He looks absolutely back to his best, and that is probably the last sort of piece in the jigsaw when everybody else has been in decent form, and he's really come through as well. We look like we can score at will, and as shown in the goal of the month video that the club put out recently, we're scoring different types of goals, which makes being a supporter so much more fun, because whenever we look like we're going forward, we're scoring different goals. We can almost score from anywhere. So yeah, really exciting time at the moment. 9 games to go. I think everybody must be looking forward to it.
Definitely, my friend.
One thing I forgot to, just on that, one thing I didn't think to add earlier was the fact that we're not only keeping clean sheets, but we've been scoring decent goals and winning by decent margin. And that's been massive for our goal difference. And you look at our goal difference compared to the teams around us, and that could be worth an extra point effectively come the end of the season. That could be huge. I mean, even if Barnsley win their game or game in hand, now they've won one, and if they win that other game in hand, even if they go level on points with us, we've got a pretty superior goal difference to them, and that's just so important, because there's going to be a team that's going to get over 90 points and not finish in the top two, so goal difference is going to be massive this season, I think.
Yeah, me too. I think I mentioned that a few weeks back, that it's gone a bit under the radar, the goal difference. Sometimes you don't think about it, but yeah, those clean sheets have been massive. Player of the month then, boys. Christian Walton has won the official club one, but who's getting yours? Matt, who's getting yours? And any other players that should get mentioned as well? It's been a good team month, but any standouts for you?
It was, and I was in an absolute bind about who to vote for on the club one, and I ended up voting for Massimo Luongo. But I was in that position where I was like, if any of these players win it, I'm happy. It doesn't matter. It's just like you say, it's been such a good team performance. But Massimo Luongo, arguably, he's turned out to be like almost the most valuable January signing, and we got him on a free because he's really made a difference in that midfield. It's no criticism of Cam Humphries at all. He's a great young player. He's gonna have a fantastic career, whether it's sort of going there with Town or if he eventually moves on or whatever. But nobody, himself included, expected he was going to play so much football this season. And Morsy has had to look after him a little bit, and that's blunted Morsy's effectiveness. With Luongo coming in, Morsy has in turn gone back into form because Luongo can handle himself, and Luongo has also been able to sort of take the yellow cards that Morsy hasn't been able to take up until now. And I just think he's made a massive difference to that engine room in the middle of the park. But yeah, Christian Walton back to his best. I'd say Wes Burns as well. He's sort of back up there. I thought his performance against Shrewsbury last weekend, that was more the Wes Burns of last season. The cross in for George Hurst's opener. But just so many good performances. Leif Davis always up there. Nathan Broadhead was a little bit quiet on Saturday, but overall he had a really good month as well. It's so hard to pick. You know, I'm saying, yeah, I voted for Luongo, but really, I sat there with my phone agonising before I pressed the button because there's just so many. And how long has it been? And this isn't even in the first month this calendar year, let alone this season, where, you know, it's a struggle to pick player of the month or goal of the month or whatever. You know, we go back not even less than 10 years and you'd be struggling to pick one. Or you'd have your keeper winning player of the season every year. It's just so nice and refreshing for them actually to be a choice and to have a headache about who's player of the month. It's just so good.
Yeah, it is good. And Ben, to bring you in, so I think it was 56% voted Christian, the supporters' votes. Mass finishing second, Massimo Luongo with 33, Wes Burns and Cameron Burgess finishing third and fourth, respectively. So I want to quickly run through the player of the month so far. And it's a nice mixture of different players. It's not just, you know, Leif Davis. It's Marcus Harness. Leif Davis won at back-to-back months. Cameron Humphreys in November. Connor Chaplin in December. Freddie Dapo in January. Nathan Broadhead, his first month at town, won it. And then, of course, Christian Walton has won it. Who are you picking? But it's just great that we've had every month. It's been a new player.
Yeah, I'm really pleased Walton did win it. I'm not surprised for the points, really, I made in my last point. In terms of the Bristol Rovers game and coming back into form, and it's great timing for him. So I think he's an excellent goalkeeper. He's been superb since he's come in, apart from his debut, which wasn't really his fault against Bolton. But this actually emphasises the point, Ross, for you reeling off all those names. And I would have given it to our captain, and I can't believe he hasn't had it yet. And he is the perfect example of being a subject to his own superb consistency. You know, he's his own worst enemy in many ways. That he's just always everywhere. I think personally he's 8 out of 10 every single game, and the fact that he's not been able to put in maybe that last ditch tackle or run that risk of that yellow card, knowing how important he is to the team, with, as Matt was saying, obviously we only had Humphreys and as well as he did, and we've covered that many times before. If Morsi got suspended in that run and was also out, and we'd have Humphreys and what, you know, who knows? Luongo would have played without match fitness. We would have had to push a defender into midfield. Who knows? So I just think it's amazing he hasn't had it yet. I think he's been an absolutely superb skipper. He is definitely the glue that holds the whole team together. Whatever way you think of him in terms of the way he carries himself, and maybe he's not sort of the most outgoing of skippers towards the fans at the end of games or whatever, you know, giving fist pumps like Chambers did or laps around the pitch like Holland did. But he obviously cares, you know, a lot about this club. He cares a lot about leading that team. You can see that with the behind footage that the club and your paper do, Ross, very well. So I would have given it to him this month because of those reasons, because of not getting booked and leading that team and how consistent we've been, because he's Mr. Consistent and we're finding that consistency. So I hope he wins it before the end of the year.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And a quick mention on the goals quickly, because we have scored some very good goals this month. Matt, what would you say has been your standout goal from this month? We've scored all goals, different ways. Free kick goals, great header goals, great team goals. What's the standout one for you?
Again, same as with players, it is so hard to pick one out. I mean, for me, one I've seen in person, I didn't manage to travel away in March. But from what I've seen at home, Hurst's goal on Saturday, Shrewsbury. And it was just, it was a great team goal, the way we passed it out from the back down that right-hand side. Two, three passes, we're down the side, the ball, it's an inch perfect cross, and Hurst just gets ahead on the end of it, and there's nothing the Shrewsbury keeper can do about that one. It's going in 10 times out of 10. I was almost going to say Broadhead's free kick, Sheffield Wednesday, that was February, wasn't it? I haven't got over how good that was. Well, I mean, that won EFL League One goal of the month, didn't it? Let alone club award. In Burgess's header against Bolton, it's a great, always, I'd like to see a centre-back pop up with a bullet header like that. That's always nice to see. Jackson's effort against Stanley was good. I've looked at the nominations for Goal of the Month. The club put those out earlier. It's cigarette paper between all of them, really, about which one is the best. It's we're scoring a variety of goals now, which is nice. Set pieces. I mean, at this time last year, we were all ironically singing, "We're going to score from a corner every time we got a corner," because we never scored from a corner. Now, every time we get a corner, I think, "Oh, we could do something from here." we're scoring from set pieces, from free kicks. We're scoring good goals from open play with head and feet. Chaplin, I'm going to say another one. We're talking about Chaplin's goal on Saturday as well. That was a nice one. And that was come off the back of having the ball in the... Luongo's goal on Saturday, not Chaplin. I think Chaplin was coming off the back of Chaplin having the ball in the back of the net a minute before, flag for offside. And then straight away, we've almost done the same thing again. Luongo's there with a lovely clean finish. Yeah. It's so hard. But for me, that Hurst header against Shrewsbury, that just edges it for me, mainly because I saw that one.
That's okay. That's allowed. But Ben, I want to quickly bring up, of course, we've had some drama on the podcast with Andy Warren and Mark Keith. And of course, Carl Edwards' free kick was the moment where that bet came to life. Just thought I'd bring in some of the pod drama. But what's been your standouts this month?
It was a brilliant moment. I mean, obviously being a listener every single week to the main pod, to the KOA pod with Stu, Andy, yourself, Ross, and hosted by Mark, and get well soon, Mark. He's just had his knee operation, so I hope he can bypass the time at home with his knee up listening to us waffling on. I hope he's getting better. But when Edwards was standing over that free kick, I think anybody who follows the podcast is sort of thinking, God, this would be, you know, this could be it. This is going to be the £1 million picks coming in, you know, the huge multi-million pound goal. I wonder if that message has somehow got to Carl Edwards through someone. Who knows? The Ipswich community, it might have got back to him. But I mean, it's a superb goal. Absolutely brilliant. No pressure on him. You know, just lifts
Andy doing semaphore from the press box.
Yeah. It's a shame that we didn't have some sort of game show like release of sort of fake cash or something, from a massive net that could have fallen on Andy's head. That was a great strike. Obviously, the Accrington keeper just came on and conceded that goal straight away after Jensen had been sent off. Very quick sort of asterisk on this, when Jensen getting sent off, didn't he? Came back for one game, then he got sent off again twice in three games. I don't know if anyone saw that. I thought that was quite funny. But for me, goal of the month is Hurst at Bolton. I like goals that are important as well as spectacular or, you know, fantastic movement, fantastic move in terms of passing move. And it, again, a little bit different. Burns gets it, runs a hell of a long way down that right-hand side. And, you know, we talked about this at the turn of the year. Was Burns really at it? Is he showing his best form? Lovely little clip pass. Good run from Hurston. Right on the volley, skips off the turf. It's just such a great goal. And, you know, we got so much confidence, I think, through that. I know we conceded the penalty, but I just thought that was a superb strike. I think that the importance of that goal and that win cannot be underestimated going into these last nine games.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Well, there we go. March done. Big April to come. Of course, we haven't got a game to end the month because of Barnsley game.
Can I just add, what was particularly funny about that Carl Edwards free kick is that Heathie had gone big, that there wasn't another goal coming on Twitter. Massively backfire. It was overconfidence. You look it up in the dictionary and that tweet is next to it.
love it. Yeah, that was a great moment. And great goal from Carl Edwards coming off the bench and scoring. Now, boys, big debate in the town community this week. The club have introduced a designated area for home fixtures for next season called the singing section. I don't think we're going to be calling it that. I think even the Blue Action is part of that. Probably won't be calling it that, but they've put it out as singing section, the club have. What's your thoughts on this? They'll be moving to, is it Block A of the Cobbold Stand? Matt, what's your thoughts on this as a whole? You know, the atmosphere can have its moments at Portland Road. This season, of course, we're getting amazing crowds for League One. It's, you know, it's not surprising anymore when you hear we're sold out 26,000. But what's your thoughts on this new introduction for next year?
I don't mind it. I don't like the name singing section, and I don't think it's a concise way of describing it, because if it's putting like-minded people together in a block. We trialled it for the Burnley game. In fact, I was in Block A that day, sat behind it was mostly like the Blue Action lot. and it worked well, and it seemed to complement the North Stand lower. And I think it's a good thing. I'm not up for things that are massively stage managed. Football crowds it's all about spontaneity, but this isn't to me stage managing or massive over organization. This is putting some like-minded people together, getting a bit more atmosphere around the ground. I mean, the atmosphere's never been quite the same since we rebuilt the North Stand. You know, you split that into two tiers from the old cop style single tier that we had. It's ruined the acoustic. The acoustics aren't great in Portman Road, but anything you can do to spread the noise around a bit, it's a plus for me. We'll see how it goes next season. But again, the club are trying to do something to improve the atmosphere. The atmosphere has been much better this season with the numbers coming back. But I mean, where I sit in the Churchmans, you know, you can't always hear what's going on in the other side. You can always hear the lower north, you know, but it's here in other places. And I've sat in other bits of the ground for FA Cup games, Pizza Cup games this season. And it's been interesting to get a perspective, being able to hear what I don't normally hear from another seat in the same ground. So I'm all for an attempt to try and improve the noise that we make. Not to say it's bad now, but let's see how it works.
Just realised I just muted myself there. So, as I was saying, as you said, Matt, I don't think it's staged. I think it is basically Blue Action going into Block A. And, of course, they've done a fantastic job to bring the atmosphere, great flags and banners. And it's been, you know, it's been great. Ben, what's your thoughts on this as a whole? You're in the upper north, I know. The atmosphere at times can be great, sometimes not great. Of course, it depends on the game itself. You know, if the game is not going the way we want it, you know, one goes a bit quiet. There's all sorts of fans, isn't there? From fans who just want to watch the game and just watch it. Some who love to chant, and they like to sing. Some are just there just to moan, of course, like football fans do. But yeah, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm a big fan of it. I think what Blue Action do to try and create or improve, sorry, the atmosphere at Portman Road is good. You know, it's excellent. It unfortunately, it probably is needed, but that's fine. You know, everybody watches football in different ways, as you say, Ross. I don't mind people just coming to watch the game and be students of the game of football and just enjoy watching a game of football. That's fine. I think, obviously, children should be encouraged to come watch football, and I don't expect them to be screaming at the top of their lungs every time, and you just want them to enjoy it. You want everybody to enjoy the game as much as they can. The one thing I don't like is moaning. I don't mind moaning at the referee or the opposition. I don't like people moaning at your own team, even when things are dreadful. I'm just not an advocate of it. I know people spend a lot of money and believe that they can. We had this chat after the Bristol Rovers thing when people get angry about stuff. I get it. I understand the argument. I just think it's not helpful. We all want Ipswich to do well. But I understand it. So if we've got a group that are going to go out of their way to try and improve the atmosphere, which will give the team have said it this year, it helps them. You know, it helps them. It could give them the extra percent. You know, sport these days is all about those marginal gains. If it gives us a percent, you know, 1% more, then that, you know, you don't know. It could result in a goal. It could result in just that extra yard. I've talked about this again, I think, before. When I ever go running and you run in like an event and you've got the crowd like saying, you know, you've got your name on your shirt and they're like, go on, Ben. And you do get a lift. The adrenaline pumps through your body. It just makes sure that you can finish that little bit stronger. And if that what means, you know, that last ditch tackle in the 90th minute, Burgess can reach it as opposed to bringing down the last man and getting sent off, you know, as an example. Or we reach that last yard trying to tap the ball in, Chaplin at the back stick, you know, whatever it may be. It's important that the fans get behind the team in whatever way they can. I think the upper north is pretty good. And if you've got people spread out a little bit further, I think that can only help things. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to next year. For whatever league we're in, I think that it will help.
Just as an example on the end of that, and Ross, you'll be familiar with this, obviously going to the women's games as well. And this is on a much smaller scale, granted, but at the women's home games, or home and away, the Women's Supporters Club, including myself, have worked to try and get a bit more noise at the AGL Arena. We've got somebody down there with a drum now. We've had a bit more, and that's spreading around the ground. And women's players, same as the men, have said that how much of a difference that makes. Joe Sheehan, the manager, has said that made a difference, mate. And the opposition players don't like it as well. Now, you blow that up onto a bigger scale at Portman Road, we're never going to be a cauldron. We're not going to be an Anfield or anything like that, you know, where, or Elland Road, where it's just horrible to go to, you know, because of the nature of the sort of family club we are. But we can make it just hostile enough. We want to make it a difficult play. There's no, I Stu put it quite well on the main pod this week. It's like I say, it's never going to be a cauldron, but you can make it a little bit inhospitable for opposition players. That's it's those fine margins that can make difference, especially with this running coming up.
Yeah, we're just nice Suffolk folk, aren't we? We're just nice Suffolk guys and girls who just, yeah. Yeah,
and that's good. I'd rather that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But you can make it, a little bit uncomfortable. Yeah, it doesn't have to be horrible. Doesn't have to be somewhere where you think, to go. But you just want to make it just that little bit uncomfortable, that little bit inhospitable. Yeah. And I think you can do that and still retain the sort of family club ethos that Ipswich Town has.
Definitely, yeah. We can call the goalkeeper fat and you're rubbish and all that, can't we? We can do all that stuff, the standard cliche. Well, I've got a bit of an extra question here, boys. I've sort of going to put you on the spot here. And I don't know how to segue into it, really, because I've just said about a goalkeeper being fat and being rubbish. But recently,
speaking
Harry Clark...
for fat people, Ross, I'm not having that.
No, you're fine. You're fine, Matty boy. I've seen your five side. You're fine. You're good. I see you run about. You're good, my friend. But Harry Clark, he's definitely not fat. But he's recently brought out, you can sort of say, the fist pump. The Luke Chambers fist pump. And I just want to get your thoughts on it because I think, once again, it's going to be 50-50. Some people think, put it away for the past. But then people are now sort of building up. They go, ooh. Ben, I'm going to go to you first. Your thoughts on this?
I don't mind it. I think you've got to be pretty miserable if you hate it. You know, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? It's just a bit of fun. And if it creates that or enhances that feel, that relationship between the fans and the players, then I'm all for it. You know, Harry's a really enthusiastic lad, it seems. You know, it seems like he's living his dream playing for the club that he grew up with in terms of the academy. I know that I'm sure he wanted to go on and be an Arsenal first team player, but it seems that everything he said about coming back to Ipswich and the position the club is in now and all his family are able to come to the game and some moving back home, he's, you know, you can see the way he plays the football. He's so enthusiastic. He's got so much energy. And when you've won and it's your hometown club, it's a release of energy for him. And if you've got everybody just, you know, high as a kite at the end of another win, then celebrating like that is not a problem at all. It's a nice thing to do, I think. And there are plenty of clubs. I mean, you know, Klopp does one at Liverpool every time they have a big win, always. And, you know, if Liverpool are doing it, why can't Ipswich do it? It makes no difference in terms of the football club. So I don't mind it. Sometimes it's a little bit like, oh, but it's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think he's sort of the perfect person to do it, really, isn't it, Matt? I'd rather that than the bloody hand-holding thing they used to do with under Lambert. That was just ridiculous. That was horrible. But yeah, Matt, your thoughts on this as a whole? And just, you know, it's a connection for the fans to the players. After the game, there's always the clap. McKenna does a little bit of a hand fist as well, doesn't he? And he loves it. If we've won, of course, it's got to be a big game, I think. It needs to be a big win. But at the moment, every game now is a big win.
It feels slightly different. I'm with Ben. I like it. I think you've got to be really miserable to not like it. But I think it's slightly different in a sense. It seems to be like part of almost like a suite of things we do when we get a good, decent win. Like you say, you get that little bit from Kieran McKenna, get the players involved, just whips that crowd up at the end a bit more. And it's that feel-good factor that's been coming back to the club for the last 12, 18 months now, really, since Kieran McKenna took over. And I'm all for it. And I think it's lovely in a way, not that he needed it, but I think it's lovely the fact that Harry Clark almost sort of got the baton officially handed over, speaking to Luke Chambers about it. I thought that was quite nice, a bit of a passing of the torch. And I always liked it the first time around. You know, it all came from sort of those good times when sort of things were on the up under Mick and we looked like, we were pushing for playoffs and looking quite tidy in the Championship. So I think it's the sort of thing when you're on the up. I don't want to see it overdone. And I think towards the end of the Luke Chambers fist bump, he was probably getting a bit overdone and it got a bit stale. And I think he'd had enough of it by the end. But just the fact we're in a position where we can do it so often is just nice, because that just reflects how good things are on the pitch at the moment.
Yeah, I think Harry mentioned because he did it at Bolton, and he was, of course, he got subbed off, so he had a coat on, and I think he was sort of like, should I do it? But I think maybe because of the fans being in the top tier and that's a long way to travel, I think he had to do it. So, yeah, let us know your comments, your thoughts on that as a whole. And, yeah, I think for the big games, you've got to enjoy it, and you've got to celebrate. Definitely Bolton game, you've got to celebrate that. All right then, boys, it's time for the strike, half an hour in. It's now Matt Macon versus Ben Diaf going head-to-head. Four questions, as always, and a tiebreaker if needed. Will the boys gamble? I'm sure they will. Gamble responsibly, of course. Play at home. Get your pens and paper at the ready. First question is on a cult hero of the strike from back in the day, Patrick Kisnobbo. He comes back. He celebrates his birthday this month. And now, I didn't know this until I was doing the research. He's actually now a manager in the French top flight. So, yeah. Now, who's he managing in the French top flight? Is it Clement Foote, Nantes, or Troyes? I have no idea. I'm not good with my French teams. If you're watching on video, you can see the teams. But if you are watching audio, then I've just said three French teams that probably are wrong. Clement Foote, I think, is the only one I'm saying right. Boys, can you help me out here? What's the other two? How would you say that?
I know it's Nantes because I know my sister lived out there for it. She was doing French at university. Okay. So the last one, is it? I know Troyes.
Yeah, Troyes. Nantes, yeah, but Troyes, I'd guess Troyes.
Troyes, yeah. Okay. Nice one. Do you know what? He actually became, a little bit of fun fact before I get your answer, he became the first Australian manager of a team in the top five European men's leagues. So he became the first ever Australian manager. So fun fact there from good old Patrick, good old Pat. Boys, what's your answer?
Again, I've gone, I don't know if you can see that or not because of the ring. There we go. I've gone none again because I have absolutely no idea and I picked it because my sister lived there for a bit.
There we go. Like that.
I know that Troyes are pretty dreadful. I've written Troyes down there. I think they're doing really badly. And I don't think he's probably a great manager. I might have heard a little bit more, so I've guessed then.
You are correct, Ben. He is managing there. I think they're connected with the group, I think, because he was a manager of Melbourne City. They're also part of the same group ownership sort of thing. So, but yeah, you're correct. I won't get too deep about this, but I thought it was a nice little question to start off, bringing our good old Pat back to the strike. Question two, so 1-0 to Ben, is on Connor Wickham. Of course, now playing in the Championship now with Cardiff. But how many goals did Connor Wickham score in 72 games for Town? I've probably done this question on the strike before, but like I said, I'm being lazy. But he celebrates his birthday this month. I want to quickly check how old Connor Wickham is now, because, of course, he's our record youngest player. He's 20. He's still only 29. He'll be 30. He'll be celebrating his first 30th birthday on the 31st of March. If you cared about that. But how many goals? Of course, if you get it bang on, you get double the points. So Mr. Matt Macon could go 2-1 up, or could Ben go 3-0 up if he gets a bang on? We shall see. Connor Wickham. What do you reckon then, boys?
I've gone 21.
I've gone 18.
18. So sadly, no one's got a bang on. There's actually only 15 goals. So Matt has got a point here. It's now 1-1.
Yeah, I almost went 16. I mean, I still wouldn't have been bang on, but I would have been even closer.
Even closer. But there we go. Question three is on a player from the 90s. Steve Palmer. Remember Steve Palmer?
Yeah.
Defender. What is his middle name then, boys? What's his middle name? Is it Edward, John, or Leonard? Good old middle names. What's your middle names, boys? I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What's yours?
You can go first, Ben.
Yeah, it's on the screen. It's John.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
all the men in our family have a J in their name, either first or second name. So as Ben, I'm a John.
Ben John DF. Solid name, Matt. Solid name. Ben, is it Benjamin? Benjamin? Is that the
Benjamin? Yeah, only when I'm in trouble with my mother. No one else calls me Benjamin. But, I mean, you can if you like, Ross, but I feel like I'm in trouble. So
I won't do that, my friend. I'll take Ben or Mr. DF. What's yours, Matt?
It's Brian, which was my grandfather's name on my dad's side. So yeah, Matthew Brian. Again, it's only Matthew if I'm in trouble with mar making.
Yes.
Which definitely. At 37 still happens.
Yeah. Never too old to get a telling off from your mum, of course. Now, Steve Palmer then. Is it Steve Edward Palmer? Steve John Palmer, just like Ben, or is it Steve Leonard Palmer? What are you going for, Ben, boys?
I'm going for Leonard, just because it's a bit different. I've written Leonard down.
I've gone Edward. I don't know why. It just feels it scans better. I can't base it on anything other than that.
When your parents sort of named you, I think it needs to roll off the tongue, don't it? Like the middle name as well.
Yeah.
And the correct answer is Leonard. So Ben has got it right. So it is 2-1 going to the final question. And it's on another random lone player from the past, who's actually a manager in League Two with Leyton Orient, and that is Richie Wellens. And it's squad number time. Squad number time. Now, what squad number did he wear during his 7 appearances on loan at Town? Was it 16, 21, or 24? Richie Wellens. Leyton Orient doing pretty well. Leyton Orient. I think they're still top of the table last time I checked. Of course,
Midge is having a cracking season there, isn't he?
Idris Elmizu's doing well. Don't think Aaron Drynan's doing that well, but you know, it's team effort and all that. He's, of course, Aaron Drynan's there. Sorry, Heathy, if you're listening. But yeah, of course, he's had a couple management spells. Richard Wellens, Oldham, Swindon, Salford City, Doncaster, and now Leyton Orient. Was on loan at Town back in 2012 from Leicester City.
Was it that long ago? Oh, I didn't think it was as far back as that. Oh,
yeah, God. Under Paul Jewell, of course. 7 appearances.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, Ross, don't.
Sorry.
Ban his name like Voldemort.
Oh, was it Mick McCarthy? No, I don't know.
Mick McCarthy maybe came end of 2012, so I don't know. Might have been Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, or maybe he signed by Thingy Bob. You know, the name we should not talk about. Then Mick came in. Anyway. Squad number, Matt. As you're needing this to equalise.
I am needing this just to stay in. I've gone 16.
I've gone the same.
Oh, okay.
And I think.
Sorry, I don't know. I need to get the answer up quickly because I thought I had it with me, but I don't have it with me. So, bit of tension
classic
here.
Classic Ross.
Classic me.
And built the tension. You couldn't have mentioned that and just built the tension, like gone to an ad break, ITV. You know that's
We'll be back after these messages. And the correct answer is 16. It is 16. So you're both right.
What it was.
Funny enough, that season, we actually had 3 16s in the team. We had Ryan Stevenson had it first, then Richie Wellens had it, and then David McGoldrick had it, which I didn't think would have been allowed. I thought you could only have 1 squad number a season, but that season we had all 3 16s. So that's a future strike episode, that. So remember that, boys and girls. Maybe who wore the number 16 shirt that season? There's 3 players. Can you name them all? So there we go. So Ben, you have 1 overall, but as ever, tiebreaker time. Are you going for it?
Of course we are. You know, okay. Give the people what they want.
We shall
be
bring
revolt.
It to you,
revolt if the winner doesn't, I think, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Of course, Matt, though, you got to get a bang on to win. So no pressure here, boy. How many goals did Roger Osborne score for Town? 148 games. He celebrates his birthday this month. Of course, the FA Cup goal-scoring hero. He turns 74. I know, he turned 73 back in 9th of March. But yeah, good old Roger.
So that's not including the 1 goal we all know about.
No, it includes it.
Including that one. So how many
goals?
There
you go. There's 1 goal for you. There's 1 goal for you. So how many more goals did he score before or after that goal? 148 games for Roger. Of course, was it the 45th anniversary this year of the FA Cup? Have I got my maths right there?
Last year.
Yeah.
No, this year. No, it is this year.
Yeah, 45th. Got my maths wrong. Yeah, 45th. Good maths, that, Ross.
Yeah, woo! I haven't put that as a note down for like future reference for a video feature. 45th anniversary FA Cup. Make sure to do something on that. But good maths as well, just to double check. Okay, Ben, as you're taking the lead, what's your guess to make it possibly? It's 3-2 in it on the scorecard. But are you going to make it 4-2 or 5-2?
I've gone Marcus Stewart's Premier League squad number when he was with us, 11.
Nice one. Okay. Matt, what do you reckon? More or less?
I could have got this completely wrong. I think, was the FA Cup final goal his only goal? I can't remember. I think it might have just been the one goal he scored for Town.
No, he scored more than that. He scored more than that. But so, you know, if you think about it, if you maybe a commentator said that, but yeah. It's 10 goals. So Ben, one off. I'll let you know his other notable goals. He scored against Spurs, scored against Arsenal in the Division One as well at Portland Road, scored against Newcastle at Portland Road, and also scored at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea in a 5-3 defeat. But yeah. 10 goals overall in 148 games. Ben Diaf, you've won the strike this week. Thoughts, speech?
It was a really hard-fought contest. I feel battered and bruised, exhausted, mind, body, soul, but delighted to get the win, Russ.
Well played, my friend, well played. All right, then. We've mentioned some interesting players there. Of course, Roger Osborne, legend. Who else have we mentioned? Steve Palmer, Connor Chaplin. He scored a hat-trick, apparently, for the Arsenal against Tottenham behind closed doors game. So if you want to know that, apparently, in that 3-2 win behind closed doors. Anyway, just saying random stuff now. It happened, though, apparently. But let's talk about the inductees. And also, I want to get Matt Macon and Ben Diaf's ultimate three Town players. They'll put in the Hall of Fame, in their own Hall of Fames. But congratulations to Jimmy Gilton, Marcus Stewart, Frank Gallup and Tom Garnes for being inducted. But Matt, who is in your ultimate Hall of Fame? You've got three players put in there of, you know, players you've watched, you've seen in the flesh. Who are you choosing?
So first one for me, and he's probably my favourite player of all time for Ipswich that I've seen play, David Johnson. So David Johnson the second, as you know, not first David Johnson, sadly passed away recently, as before my time. I grew up in the 90s watching those Burnley sides, and I know everything was about Marcus Stewart when we went up to the Premier League, and sadly Jono didn't have a great season there, and then left and went to Nottingham Forest. But so the goals he was scoring for us in those seasons leading up to that famous day at Wembley in 2000 were massive for us, and I just love it. He was just so infectious, like rocking up at Wembley with blue hair. And again, that's a shame because he went off injured so early on into that game as well. But I think he's, in a way, kind of underrated. And if he'd had just a slightly better start to the season, and got a Premier League goal, you know, it's great that makes me feel old now watching his son play in the Premier League for Nottingham Forest, you know, and he's already scored Premier League goals, which his dad didn't manage to do. But you think if he got off the mark some of those close chances at the start of the season, that could have been different. That could have been him that went on that run as well as Marcus. So, yeah, David Johnson's definitely... first one for me. Second one, and again, you can tell my age and where I grew up, it's got to be Matty Holland, because I mean everyone loves a Matt in there. and again, he was just like the epitome of an Ipswich Town captain for me growing up. He was just fantastic. He was ever present, you know. He never really missed a game. He was a really strong leader, and he's a really nice chap. And also, I think he's found the fountain of youth, because to me, he doesn't really look any older now than he did lifting the trophy at Wembley in 2000. So somewhere there's a painting of him in an attic getting older somewhere. It's the only solution. Third one for me, I'm killing time here because I've got to come up with the first two quite quickly. I'm trying not to pick another one from that side. For me, Jason DeVos, I got to say. He, again, another really good Ipswich Town captain, and goes a little bit under the radar. You know, that time he came to us, really, it wasn't kind of a bit of a fallow period. It turned out it wasn't a fallow period compared to how it went in the Championship later on, but... again, really nice chap, solid, dependable player, tough player, and all round good egg. And I just really liked him as well. It's hard to say. Again, probably I'm putting him in there more for leadership qualities than necessarily football and talent. I mean, Matty Honan gets in there on both, but definitely Jason DeVos. Just he was a really good leader on the pitch for me. So yeah, that's my three.
I like it. I love Jason DeVos. He's up there, one of my favourite players. And he got inducted back in 2019. I don't think Matty Holland's actually in the Hall of Fame yet, but of course he's part of the committee. So I don't know.
He's in charge of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So you think, do I put myself in there? I'm sure eventually he's got to go in there at some stage. But yeah, Jason DeVos back in 2019 got inducted. Ben, who are your three ultimate Hall of Famers?
Well, I think Matt and I are actually the same age, so we could have been very similar. Obviously, whoever was going first in this was going to name Matt Holland. He is an absolute given. So I'm not going to name. But Matt, if you ever listen to this sort of thing, you're in it, mate. All right, you're an absolute hero. Everyone knows it. We could have a whole podcast on Matt Holland. Yeah. We could talk about his running style, his run around the pitch after every home game, blah 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 blah. Lifting the trophy.
Mrs. Emma's got a big crush on him. And to be honest, if she left me for Matt Holland, I wouldn't really have any complaints. To be fair,
But using the Irish link actually, and someone who's not been mentioned, I am going to pick the first at Daryl Murphy. In my time, he went through a stage of. I mean, obviously that one season is absolutely tremendous, but it wasn't like he was a bad player before that. And then, you know, the season after, he still, you know, he had a few injuries, but he got that hat-trick at Rotherham and still picked up some good goals that season as well. So, and again, because he's from the same city in Ireland that my wife is from as well. So there's always been that link when my wife and I were first courting in 2014. It was, we've got, you know, a lad from Waterford, you're from Waterford, et cetera, et cetera. It always felt like, I don't know, just closer affiliation with Daryl. Obviously his goals almost got us promoted. Great season, probably the best, obviously the best season we've had since being in the Premier League. Really, I guess we had the playoffs heartache under Joe Royle. But Daryl's in there for that, almost that one season alone, and then, you know, a few other good memories aside. I've also got Richard Wright. From when I was a little bit younger, I loved diving around in the garden, ruining my mum's, you know, grass.
Benjamin.
You know, those days when you were just filthy and that strip off at the door. No, you know, you don't come any further. Those clothes aren't coming any further in that state. I remember one Christmas in particular, we had a goalkeeper. I got a goalkeeper's top. And it was the kit manufacturer at the time was Core, C-O-R-E. I think everyone remember that. And it had it was green with blue sleeves and like a blue sort of lightning bolt kind of design or sort of light square design. And my dad, when those days you either had to go to Bury or Portland Road, there was no, you know, mail order or, you know, online shopping. So my dad had to go and pick it up. And when he went to pick it up, Richard Wright, unbelievably, was there. So I got to Ben, Merry Christmas for Richard Wright on the label, and obviously was made up, you know, went running around all Christmas Day in that top. So great memories, great goalkeeper, Wrighty. Probably left us a little bit too soon, but the playoff final, the penalty save. His excellent distribution, a keeper ahead of his time, possibly in that regard, really good left foot. So Richard Wright is one. and then the other, because Matt Holland was a given, I've actually written down Fab. Wilderness. Because he was a fan's favourite. He got it. He was really enthusiastic. And I have a right back, a bit like Harry Clark. There's that affinity already of Clark with the fans. Wilderness obviously got on well with the fans because he famously told us how much he dislikes Norwich. And anybody who dislikes Norwich is okay with me. So, he brought, again, some fantastic memories. Obviously, the Manchester United goal is right up there. But also the goal at Carrow Road. The celebrations after both for me are iconic. The way he just goes running off towards the supporters. I think the Man United one, he almost cannot believe what's happened. The Carrow Road one is just glee running away to those away fans. The Bowditch game, I think that is also remembered for. And Craig Fleming pulling his hammy, which was quite funny. Fab. What a player. The famous Vilnius step over, of course. Who could forget?
Yeah, what a player, what a man, what a character. Some great characters mentioned there. Get involved in the comments, as always. Your favourite players, your ultimate Hall of Famers. Of course, we've got some great Hall of Famers in general, but there's some other players that maybe don't get a mention as much. But the recent inductees have well-deserved. Definitely Jim McGilton. Great to see him back. Of course, Marcus Stewart, what a man, what a player. And of course, Frank Yallop for his many years at the club. And of course, Tom Cagani's, who are a player from the 30s and the 40s, scored a lot of goals back then. So, yeah, well played to them. Well,
I just point out is how great it was in particular just to see Magic back at the club. We all know it ended really horribly for him as manager here. He was treated quite badly by the ownership at the time, and he's not been back since. 14 years, he said he stayed away from the club. And I think it probably, there was a little bit of arm twisting from Matt Holland to get him back for Friday night, and just to see him come back. It's just, I think that is just another great example of how things are on the up with this ownership under Game Changer and the stewardship that there is over the club now. That you think for a long time, I thought I'll never see Jim McGilton set foot at Portman Road again. You know, and I've seen pictures of him. I've getting various selfies with people I know who were at the dinner on Friday with him, and then he was at the match on Saturday as well, I believe. And it's great to see him back, and hopefully that's him sort of back at the club more often now.
Definitely. Yeah, great to see. It's great to see. I think Ty Milton and Matt Holland have done a great job of sorting out the former players and making sure that they feel welcomed back with the club again. And I think that's a great thing with the club have done with the community. A little shout out to myself with Ty Milton in pictures recently been posted. So if you haven't seen that, watch it. It's now online. Of course, done with one with Matt Holland as well. So check that out. One with George Burley. Another one coming out soon with Alex Maffey. So check that out as well. But there we go. Boys. Nine big games, nine cup finals, as they say. Ben, how are you feeling? Looking forward to it. The first time in League One, we've got a run-in that we're looking forward to. It's a four-horse race, it sounds like now, for top two, because Barnsley, what a win for them on Tuesday night against Sheffield Wednesday. It's all open now. What's your thoughts on it?
My thoughts are that I'm nervous thinking about it, but I love that. You know, I love that we have something to be nervous about. We knew that anticipation of a game at Portman Road that, yes, we're getting brilliant crowds, but to have it really something riding on it as we move towards the business end of the season. We've got nine cup finals. All those football platitudes are going to come out, aren't they? But yeah, I'm hugely excited. It's the best time of the year, you know, as a football fan when you've got so much to play for. It's even interesting, you know, on the days when we don't play now, suddenly you're really interested in, not that, you know, I care a lot about football. I absolutely love football. My wife, you know, knows that more than anybody. She just despairs at the games that get switched on our television all the time. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley, as an example, on Tuesday night. But yeah, you're watching those results now. You're watching Accrington, Plymouth, seeing what's going on there. Any sort of thing, you know, is someone getting yellow carded, potentially suspended? Could that be, you know, then a domino effect into the next game? So there's so many twists and turns that will happen. It's a four-horse race now with that fantastic result for Barnsley. Which makes it again even more interesting having four teams vie for those two. Four doesn't go into two, as we know. So there are going to be two teams disappointed. And then we're going to go through all of that. We could be in the playoffs. And then we another stage of the season to look forward to. So, yeah, so much to play for, Ross. I'm confident because I've been confident about the team all season. There's no doubt we've got the tougher run in. Everybody's talked about that. But we can only do what we can do. We need to win at least, I guess, probably seven out of the nine, I think, to stand a chance. I would have thought, just because we know what this league's like and the teams at the top keep on winning. So I would actually be really disappointed if we win seven out of those nine, say draw one, lost one, and we didn't get in. I mean, that would be crazy, a crazy points total. But we're in this position, you know, of our own making. And we've now got to try and finish it off, and come on, it's so exciting.
Yeah, bring it on. And Matt, you mentioned earlier one team may miss out on a top two with 90 points, which is just crazy, but it's just how good League One has turned out to be in the top half of the table. How are you feeling then, my friend? Nine games, Derby, Barnsley, Peterborough away. Oh, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think Ben nailed it on the head, really. I'm a mixture of excited and nervous. It's nice that we've got something to play for still, isn't it? I mean, you and I were saying sort of opposing views in December season before last, Ross. You'd already said the season was dead. Then I said, well, it wasn't quite dead. It was on life support. About this time a year ago, the plug got pulled on that life support. Obviously, we've just past the year anniversary of that heartbreaking draw at Oxford that pretty much killed off any chance of sneaking sixth place. But I mean, we I still can't, mental scars almost say we're pretty much guaranteed top six now. And there's still a really good shout for top two. Like I said earlier, a better shout than there was at the end of February. And you look at that running, we've got a tougher running, but I'm looking at that running now. You've got Derby away, Wickham at home, Cheltenham away, Charlton at home, Port Vale at home, Peterborough away, Barnsley away, Exeter at home, and then finish off with a trip up to Fleetwood. It's not a bad running. There's difficult games there. I don't think Derby's as difficult a fixture now as, again, a month ago I thought it was. They've gone off the boil somewhat. They're probably now more looking over their shoulders and whether or not they might step out. Wickham have still got something to play for, but they've changed manager recently. Ainsworth left and went to QPR. There's a lot of winnable games in there. I mean, obviously, Peterborough is going to be a tough one. They've still got something to play for. Barnsley, obviously, that should have been this Saturday. It's not, but that potentially be a huge proper barn burner, that one. But there's a lot of winnable games in there. And if we lose a couple of games, I think it's okay. Draws are what done for us this season. You look at, I think we'll be 12 points clear or something like that at the top of the league. If we sort of those points we've dropped from winning positions and turned into draws. But we are where we are now. We can't turn back time, change those results. There is eminently, Ben says seven wins out of nine. There's seven wins there. You look at some of those teams. We keep playing like we're playing. We're in a really good run of form. I know all good runs of form have to end. Barnsley are in a good run of form. And we're all thinking, well, that's got to end sometime. Derby were in a good run of form. That has ended. Sheffield Wednesday are in a good run of form. That appears to have ended. But if we just got to keep going and doing what we're doing. It's exciting. 4-2 doesn't go. I'm still hopeful we will end up in that top two. There's a few people, I hate to say it, Ross, it's people your age that can't really remember the playoffs that much. And don't get me wrong, Wembley was great, but the stress of the late 90s and playoffs, I'm scarred still now, over 20 years later. I don't know about you, Ben, but I'm not sure I've got another playoff campaign in me. So I really hope that we go up automatically. It's exciting though, isn't it? You just don't want to miss a game. You don't want to miss a game. The Barnsley, the rearranged game, that's on a Tuesday night now. That's a 3,000 allocation, and that's pretty much, talking to Liam from Crew last night before we started Five Aside, Ross, he was saying he'd picked up a ticket and there was hardly anything left. There's not a lot left for Peterborough away. There's not a lot left for Cheltenham. Cheltenham on Easter Monday. People are going to go in numbers. It's bonkers, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's just win, lose or draw. There's just such a crowd home and away. It's something. And yeah, I'll temper it. It's third division football. You know, before this relegation, we haven't been here since 1957. But we are here now. We are where we are. Let's enjoy it. And there's just hope it's got a happy ending.
Yes, my friend. Well said. And bring it on. Enjoy the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the home and the away games. Going to be packed with Town fans. Well, it's been a great podcast. Really getting to the hour mark. Little final notes here, though, of course. The women's team are in action this Sunday. There's no men's game. So if you fancy a trip to Kent, then the Town women's team are also in a promotion race. They're currently top of the table, but Oxford have got two games in hand. Matt, you're part of the supporters group, and you know Gillingham are a good side. They're sixth. We've done a Track to Girls talk, me, Blue Wilson, and Dr. Jack Mitchell, the psychologist who does great work with the club. But Matt, this weekend you'll be going there. It's just to fill the void of no football on Saturday. There is a game on Sunday.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd have been there regardless. But yeah, it's at Chatham Town's ground in Kent. It's just outside Gillingham. Ipswich Town, LTFC Women Official Supporters Club. We're putting some transport on again. Unfortunately, we couldn't get our regular minibus this weekend. But we've got a fleet of drivers conveying people to Gillingham, well, not Gillingham, Chatham. So get in touch with us if you want to book it. There's still a few seats left. It's filling up fast. So ITFC WOSC on all the social media, or send us an email, ITFC WOSC @gmail.com, or ping me a message on social media, on Twitter, at MattMakin85, and we'll see what we can do. There's only four games left. Again, women's team, six on the bounce, beat Crawley Wasps away 4-1. Sadly, conceded a penalty, so the clean sheet run ended last weekend, but we still saw that one out nice and neat. One of the home games coming up, second of April, that's Oxford. That's a big top of the table clash. It's a tight division again this season, because you've got Watford, who came down from the Championship last season, Oxford, who pipped us to second place last season, Portsmouth are on a good run of form, and Gillingham's going to be a tough one. They beat us at home in the opening, one of those, the second home game of the season, I think, wasn't it, Ross? And yeah, get down, get the support. And yeah, like I said, get in touch with the sports club if you want to find out more.
Definitely. And as I said, look out for Trying to Girls Talk if you haven't watched it already. And hopefully it's a double promotion season. The men and the women's team, it's going to be great. Exciting. Get yourself ready. Ben Diaz.
Just so sad that even if Ipswich win the league, there's still a playoff game with the Northern Premier winners to go up. There's FA need to pull the proverbial out and sort out the promotion and relegation in the top tiers of women's football.
Yeah, sort it out. Ben Diaf, I've been sitting there nice and silently. Any other business from yourself, my friend?
My mum would be so proud, wouldn't she? She wouldn't be calling me Benjamin. Nice and quiet, sitting in the corner. No other business, just hope everyone enjoys a free weekend, a stressless weekend, because it's going to be the only one you're going to get until possibly the end of May. So, yeah, I hope that's not the case. I know Matt said about the playoffs. Yeah, they bring heartache. But just like, you know, just like love, Ross, you know, when your heart's broken, you know, by a woman or a man, and you still go back for more, don't you? You get over it and you go back for more. You can't help yourself. And that's the relationship with Ipswich Town we've probably all got. So looking forward to the twists and turns of the next month or two.
Definitely, my friend. And Matt, any other business from yourself?
Just to add to what Ben said earlier, get well soon, Mark, obviously. I'd forgotten until the pod, actually. It was the inaugural KOA five-a-side game where Mark did his ACL and then carried on playing golf for the rest of the game, which perhaps in hindsight he shouldn't have done. So, yeah, get well soon, Mark. And we nearly had another pod-related injury last night, didn't we, Ross? There was a bit of a firm but fair tackle from the good Dr. Watson on you. Yes. He did win the ball, though, Ross.
He did win the ball, to be fair. I got up like a trooper. I got up straight away. But yeah, fair tackle and a good game. Good game last night.
And it wasn't until you got an itch me about 2 minutes later and I went, "Are you all right?" You went, "Oh,
I'm okay.
I suddenly realised he caught you right in the ribs, didn't he?
Bless yeah, him. that was the last week. I got on the ribs last week, so I'm still got the effect there. That's a nice little way to sort of shout out. If anybody wants to play Fireside, the Kings of Anglia Fireside, always welcome anybody of all abilities. If you fancy it, Wednesdays at 7 p.m, drop me a line at RossMediaUK. And just like this podcast and videos, let me know at RossMediaUK if you want to get involved. Get your voice heard, your face heard as well. Get involved. But yeah, Matt, Ben, thanks for joining me. Thanks, A1, for listening. I'm just going to do the outro now, try not to butcher it. Keep it simple. Sponsored by Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off, I think, at KOA at checkout at manscaped.com. Also, Ginger Pickle, the goats of marketing. Good old Tony Southgate, who also helped me film an episode of In Pictures with Tommy Miller, which will be out in a few months' time. But yeah, big shout out to Ginger Pickle. As always, if you haven't already, subscribe, follow Matt Makin, Ben Diaf on Twitter, follow Kings of Anglia on all the socials. And if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast as a whole, the fan social as a whole. And enjoy your weekend, whatever you're doing, and bring on the big 9 games in the league. Bye for now.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.